Kind of crazy. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but some people, it is said that they have personal relationships with their vehicles. For many, their cars, it's a place of power, freedom, adventure. It is said that our cars sometimes may be an extension of our own personalities. For many, driving is just simply getting from point A to B. Sometimes it's to go from point A to B as fast as we possibly can get there. For some, I don't know if any of us have driven our cars, our vehicles, like it's a game, and we are going to see if we can beat the clock. I got to get to school in 6 minutes without getting late. Can I beat the stoplights? Can I get there? For some, it's not the getting to a destination, but it's enjoying the ride along the way. For some, again, it's not the speed and how quickly I need to get to my destination, but I need to learn to enjoy the ride along the way. And many of us this morning, I think we could agree with both mindsets. Sometimes we live life, I'm going to get to that spot as quickly and possibly as I can get there. And other times, I think we get reminded to stop, to slow down, to enjoy the ride. One day, we pass from this life to the next. One day, many of us will stand before God, and hopefully every single one of us in here this morning, we will get that opportunity to all go to heaven for eternity instead of getting to that other place. There is a destination, heaven, and that is important. It's important that we live our life in that direction, that our life is headed in the correct, proper direction. I'm headed towards heaven. But while we're here, are you enjoying the ride on the way? And while we're here, and while we wait, and while our life is facing, and we're driving our vehicle in the right direction towards heaven, are you enjoying every moment that God is providing for every single one of us this morning? With that, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. And it says this: King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He sent messages to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue that he'd set up. All the officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted out, "People of all races, nations, languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound, the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever your race, nation, language, bow to the ground, and they worship the gold statue the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed him of the Jews. They said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of all the instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some here, Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you've actually put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you. They pay no attention to you, Your Majesty. They refuse to serve your gods, and they do not worship the gold statue that you have set up." Verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. He ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And when they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods and to worship the gold statue that I've set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made. When you hear the sound of all the musical instruments, but if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue you from my power." Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve, he's able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make something very clear to you, your majesty. We will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. He ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up. They threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. Verse 22, and because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw 3 men in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. And so this morning, this story, we've been in Daniel the last couple of weeks as we started January with the book of Daniel. It speaks so many different things, but there's 3 things that are spoken this morning. One about the king, his government officials, and then, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king had many moments that were short-lived. The king had many short-lived moments. And short-lived moments, if we back up, this is chapter 3, if we just back up to chapter 2, the king had a dream. He called in the best of his best. He called in the MVP of his government and said, please help me understand my dream. Tell me my dream. Help me to understand it. And none of his men, none of the best, none of the locals, none of the men that he relied on for years could help him. And so he got frustrated, and he said, listen, I'm going to kill every single one of you who cannot help me. All my government, all the men, all the astrologers, all the magicians, I'm going to kill every single one of you if you cannot tell me what my dream means. And then one man, good man named Daniel, comes to the king and says, king, just give me a little time, and I will find out what your dream means. He tells the king the dream. He tells what it means. He says, this is from God. It's not from me. And the king has a moment where he goes, wow, your God is amazing. Your God is amazing. This is chapter 2. Your God is amazing, Daniel. But what does he do in chapter 3? He builds a gold statue, and he wants it to be worshipped. So he goes from praising God to 1 minute, and next thing you know, he goes to saying, let's worship this statue. Very short-lived. He said in Daniel chapter 2:47, truly, your God is the greatest of gods, the Lord of our kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this. Short-lived. How many of us, like the king, have ever had a short-lived moment where maybe we encounter God for a brief second, or maybe there's something in a sermon, maybe something in a song that inspires us, it touches us. We feel God's presence. There's something. Have we ever been to a service? Have we ever been to a conference? Have we ever been in our cars, and all of a sudden we get touched, and we hear maybe a word from the Lord, or maybe there is a prophet or prophecy that was given to us. Have we ever, like the king, ever had a short-lived godly moment where 1 minute we're listening and we're excited, and the next thing you know, it's just totally out the window? Kind of reminds me of something Jesus said, Matthew 13:20. He said, the seed, which is the word of God, fell on rocky soil, which represents those who hear the word of God. They immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or persecuted for believing God's word. The king in this moment in his life, he did not have deep roots into God, into truth, into the things that were represented here. And sometimes some of us, we don't allow the roots of our life to go deep enough into the word of God. This morning, as the king, he lived short-lived moments. He had encounters with God. But one encounter, two encounters with God, sometimes is not enough when our roots aren't deep enough. Are our roots this morning deep enough, planted in God's word, so that nothing shakes us this morning? The king sets up a statue. It's 90 feet tall. It's 9 feet wide. We don't know what's on the inside, but we know on the outside it was pure gold, baby. Woo! Pure gold. So exciting. This statue, pure gold. In this moment and in this time, there was a god named Nebu who was worshipped for his, supposedly this fake idol, this fake god, helped men write. helped men become more wise, and it helped the vegetation of where they lived. And so this fake god, for many people, many countries, at different times, at different places, everyone had a different god, a different idol, a different statue that they worshipped, Baal. This one was Nebu, inscribed as he, this fake god, was given the task to assign fate to every man in the city. The Jewish people, the Jewish community, we know that they were given a mandate from God. Do not worship any idol. Do not worship any other god but me. And that was one of the Ten Commandments. But for every other country in this time, they all had statues. It was cool. It was attractive. It was hip. It was everything that everybody wanted. It was, let's worship a statue. And so the king, he did this. He set up a statue because he wanted to try and control people, but he also was trying to unite them in the worship of his fake god, Nebu. He was trying to control. He was trying to set up his idol so that he can gather the nations and say, we are going to all bow down. We're all going to worship. He wanted to use his power and his control to get people to bow down to this fake statue. He wanted to solidify. He wanted to make his name for himself. But how many of us know sometimes when we think we need to use power, when we need to exercise power, sometimes power can get to every one of us in our heads. Sometimes wanting power, sometimes wanting control can get to us, just like it did to the king in this day. And so he made everyone, every single person, bow down to his little statue. I wonder for the men in this story, there was four Jewish men, three out of the four were mentioned, if they ever felt singled out. Because for whatever reason, three out of the four men in this story were singled out. They were singled out. I don't know if they were hiding. I don't know if they were in the dark. I don't know how, but there were certain men who watched specifically for these guys. It had to feel like they were singled out, because they were watched all the time. For these men, they were watched. And it seemed like that when anything in this town and city were happening, they were always brought out. They were always singled out. Remember, our story this morning takes place and speaks about people, kings, and it speaks about the government officials, and it speaks about the Jewish men who were promoted, who were exalted, who were lifted up in this time. And how many of us know sometimes in life we all have haters? How many of us have ever seen in life we all have haters? The Jewish godly men, four men in the book of Daniel, had a lot of haters. They had many haters because they were constantly being watched. They were constantly, had magnifying glasses looking into their lives. The Jewish men in this story had haters because they didn't like that there was power given to foreigners. They didn't like that there was power given to these men. And I wonder, as these men, our four men, main characters in our story, in our text, felt singled out and they had haters, do any of us this morning have haters? Do any of us this morning ever feel like we're being watched and judged? This morning, do any of us ever feel like there are people who are watching me? They're seeing if I'm going to slip up, if I'm going to say something bad, if I'm going to say the wrong thing. If any of us this morning, just like the men in this story, do we ever feel constantly like people are pointing fingers at us? They're gossiping. They're talking about us. Godly people, like the men in the story, godly people, if you're godly, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, you will have haters just like these men did. But at the same time, does God want us to live our life? Does God want us to live our life with taking matters into our own hands? Does God want us to take our own, the moment, the situation, as haters come after us? Romans 12:17 says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you're honorable. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you can live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, Paul, Romans 12, 17, a very powerful verse. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Make sure every single person can see that you're honorable. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If your enemies are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Many of us in here, like the men in the story, have haters. And if you have haters this morning, heed the advice of Apostle Paul. Do not pay evil back with evil. If people do bad things to you, if they say bad things about you, do good for them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, amazing three men. You know, in this story and in this moment, how many of us know if we're sitting there and if we get into this text and ask ourselves, what would I have done in this situation? Many of us this morning, I think many of us would have made excuses. Well, you know, I'm only going to bow down just once. I'm only going to bow down once, and then I'll ask God to forgive me. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, he gave us a chance. He promoted us. He's been nice to us. So maybe out of honor and respect to the king, maybe I should just bow down once. Maybe all we have to do is bow down once, and we'll never have to do it again. We should honor the king because we're foreigners in his land. We should do what the king wants us to do because it's his land. It's not our land. We're not in our homeland. We're in his land. So maybe we should bow down. Maybe if we don't bow down and we get killed, you know what? Evil men will take our positions in the government in which we serve. How many of us know that in every single situation, our head, our thoughts can run wild? And I have to think for these men here in the story, they had moments where they started to make excuses, where they started to think, well, maybe we could, maybe we should, maybe I could just do it just once, maybe I can get the king off our back. But instead of making excuses, instead of listening maybe to their thoughts and part of the feelings that they were having, what did they do? They decided to make a bold statement. How many of them, I don't know, how many of us know the statement they made is such a bold, bold statement? They said to the king, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the fire, God whom we serve, he's able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make something very clear to you, your majesty. We will never serve your God or worship the gold statue that you have set up. As we place ourselves into the situation, we could honestly say this morning that many of us have bowed down to sometimes the pressures of life. How many of us know that in life and in the years that we've been living, many of us in moments and seconds turning our back on God because we feel bad, maybe for friends, maybe for family, maybe for school, maybe for teachers, that maybe it's just easier to cave in this moment. Maybe it's easier just to give in. God is a forgiving God. These men in this story, think of the boldness that they had to have to be kidnapped, to be taken captive, to grow into this place, into a kingdom that was not their kingdom. It was not their homeland. This was not their place. They were brought into the palace. They were brought before the king. And because they were wise, because they were godly, because they chose to do the right thing over and over again, they kept getting promoted and promoted and promoted. But no matter how much they were promoted and no matter how many good and bad things happened to them, what did they continue to do? To make bold statements before God and before the people and even before the king. The king wasn't very happy of the words that they said. The king wasn't happy. He was so angry. The king was so angry that his face became distorted. Have you ever seen someone so angry that their face becomes distorted? Have you ever seen someone that is so angry? I have. I'm sure I've actually become so angry that my face has become distorted. Or am I going to? The king was so angry. He was so mad that his face became distorted. He was so frustrated. He was so angry. His blood was boiling. The thoughts in his head were moving around. He was going crazy because he was so angry. These people are disobeying me. They're disobeying my orders. So he says to his soldiers, turn up the furnace 7 times. We know that the king, and we know this from last week, he had a little anger issue. When the king didn't get what he wanted every single time, what did he do? He got angry and frustrated. The last chapter 2, when the men could not interpret and tell him the dream, what did he say? I'm going to tear you apart, and I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill your family, and I'm going to destroy your houses. Every single time the king did not get what he wanted, what he expected from people, what was his first response? Anger, frustration, and I'm going to kill somebody. Ephesians 4:26, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Anger gives foothold to the devil. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to become angry is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Jesus said about anger, I say to you, if you're angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in the danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in the danger of the fires of hell. The king in our story, the king in the text, as we saw last week, he had some super anger issues. The anger issues were so bad, it says that he distorted his face. There was something inside of him that drove him. There was something inside of this king that he would become so mad. He'd become so angry with the people that he was staring at, with the people that were in front of him. And that anger caused him. It took full control of his body. Many of us in here this morning, maybe we've never had to deal with anger. Maybe we've never been impatient. Maybe we've never been someone who's had a problem with anything. We're just easygoing, nice, sweet people. The king's issue was anger. And sometimes this morning, it may not be anger, but there's other issues that we allow to control us. We must be careful, as if it's anger, as if it's lust, as if it's fear or insecurity, whatever it may be this morning, don't allow, like anger or other issues, take control of our life. I love the statement that he makes because he's proved wrong. He says, what God can save you? What God can save you from my hand? The king, frustrated, mad, because people couldn't follow his directions. Have we ever been mad at someone because they didn't follow our direction or instruction? Have we ever been frustrated as a parent sometimes when we give our kids instructions and directions and they don't follow them? Have we ever been mad because we feel that we explain ourselves clearly sometimes, and then we get angry if people do not follow those clear instructions and directions? Sometimes at jobs in the workplace. And we know this morning that there are different types of jobs, and being a brain surgeon is different than my job in selling food. So to be operating on a person's brain, that is a big deal, to be very careful, be very precise. In my job selling food, it's a little different. I don't have to be exactly precise. Just go out and sell food and hopefully make some money. There's different things that are asked of us every single day. There's certain things and instructions that are asked of us every single day. But one of the things in this story, remind ourselves from learning from the king, do not allow anger, frustration, or control to mount up inside of me, to want to manipulate and direct other people's lives. That's not why God has put us here. The devil uses whoever he can. The devil uses whomever and whatever he can to get us to screw up. As we start to wrap up this morning, we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 3 as we finish out part of the story. Daniel chapter 3, starting verse 24. And it says, suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement, and he exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Verse 27. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command. They were willing to die rather than to serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race, nation, language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb." He likes to do this kind of stuff. "And their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. There is no other God who can rescue like this." In Daniel 3:30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. And so this morning, as we start to wrap up and pull these things together, we understand that in life, every single one of us in life, we're going to face fires. We're going to face earthquakes. We're going to face the wind. We're going to face storms. We're going to face waves. There's just going to be crazy single situations that we face. But as we pull this together to understand, we pull this and understand, number one, those who listen, those who believe, those who trust, those who obey, and those who stand, there will be another one with us in the fire. How many of us have loved that song we played earlier today, "Another in the Fire"? Another in the fire. To know that if I listen, if I listen, if I believe, if I trust, if I obey, if I stand for God, that there's going to be another one with me with every fire that I face. If I put my hope and trust and stand for the living God, to know that for every earthquake, for every storm that I face, there's going to be another one who is standing with me, that will be holding me. No matter what I face, no matter what I go through, no matter where I'm headed, if I put my hope and trust and listen and faith and obey God and stand for Him, that there'll be another one with me every single day. You know, it's really, really important, because all of us have seen bad things happen to good people. There's bad things that happened to bad people, and every one of us would say they deserve it. Bad things happen to bad people, and we all say, you know what? They absolutely deserve that. Yes, they did. Hallelujah. And there's other times where bad things happen to good people. There's fires that kill, destroy, and burn homes of good people. There's tsunamis that come through and have destroyed villages. There's men and women who've survived some of the most horrific and tragic earthquakes that have taken the lives of thousands of people who were surrounded by them, who died. And so there's so many things that we see in life that has happened. Bad things sometimes happens to everybody. But to understand this morning, if I'm going to survive, if my kids are going to survive, if life will continue to go on, if I want another one to be with me everywhere I go and everything that I do, if I want another person to walk with me, protect me every single day, then my life has to be placed in the hands of God. I have to make a stand for God. I have to make bold statements for God. And so number one, we remind ourselves, for those who listen, believe, trust, and obey, and stand for God, there'll be another one in the fire. If you listen to those words that we played this morning, there is another in the fire standing next to me. There's another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding, what power has set me free? There's a grave that holds no body. Now that power, it lives in me, because there's another in the fire. I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us because there's another in the fire. For our own safety, for our own protection, for our own blessing, for our goodness, every single day, for the people who are with us, for the people who surround us, for the people who are in our life, the best thing that we can do is make sure that I'm listening. God, I'm putting my faith in you, my trust, to obey you the best that I can. And as the men in this story stood for you, God, help me to stand for you as well. Number two, to remind ourselves, that rewards and promotions come from the hand of God. And for those who stand, those who stand, those who make bold statements, those who don't give up or give in, will be rewarded and promoted from God above. Number three, we see that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took a town, they took a city, they took a government, they took a nation, they took a kingdom that believed, that followed darkness. We see Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see these men who, they were in a city that was evil, and they worshiped idols. They worshiped idols, and they worshiped fake gods. This town, this city, this government, this nation, this kingdom was changed because four men made a stand. What could we do as Christians come together to make a stand? 2025, January, and we're all almost already through January 2025. What could we do? What is God asking us to do in 2025? To stand. As these men stood back then, God is asking us to stand today. As those men made bold statements back then, he's asking us to make bold statements today. As they change towns, cities, the government, the nation, the kingdom of Babylon, where they were in that moment, the people were changed. Why? Because four men made a stand. These people were moved by God. They were changed by God. They were revived. They were awakened by God. They had a move. And this morning we ask ourselves, where's God asking us to stand? I still have my seats up here, and if you notice, we've been talking about seats in the direction of life. And this seat right here, it's facing forward. Just like if you drive your car, it's important to face forward while you drive instead of looking backwards. But how many of us know sometimes cars have a seat over here and you can have a passenger on this side, but then there's seats in the back. And sometimes the back seat, when you have passengers back there, back seat passengers turn into back seat drivers. And this morning, the thing is, and that is my title, backseat drivers, because see, a backseat driver, did you know, does not trust the driver of the car. The backseat driver does not trust the way the person is driving. And so what do? Because they don't trust, because the lack of faith, hope, and trust, the backseat driver does not trust the person in control. And so they have to voice their disgust. They have to voice the directions they think that need to be heeded. They think in their minds, the backseat driver, that my opinion is more important than the person driving the car. And this morning, as we wrap up, as we pull all these things together, you see, we understand that four friends, Four men changed everything in this city. Four men. Why? Because they pushed each other to do the right thing and not cave in. Four men. There was a nation, a government, a king that was changed. Four, just four. Because they didn't cave in, because they didn't bow down, because they didn't allow the wrong voice to give them bad directions. They made sure that they were listening to the correct backseat driver. This morning, as we kind of think spiritually, because there is a spiritual life that we're living. There's a spiritual life that we can't see. There's spirits, angels, and demons that we can't see that are all around us. There's God that we do not see. There's God that we do not see, but we do feel God at times. We don't see God visibly, but we see God moving at times. Because there's so many things happening all around us that we do not see. What's extremely important is to say, who is the backseat driver today of my life? Who is the backseat driver of my life today? Paul said in Galatians, he said, let the Holy Spirit guide your life, and then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Paul goes on to say in Galatians 5:22, the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Every one of us this morning, we all have a backseat driver. And there's times when we have backseat drivers. How many of us have ever got frustrated because people keep telling us to make this turn, that turn, do this, do that? How many of us constantly have backseat drivers? But you know what's weird? You know what's weird? How many of us have backseat drivers right now in our head who are feeding thoughts, who are feeding feelings that aren't healthy, that aren't correct? The backseat driver, there's past things that have happened in the past that are our backseat driver. There's words that people have spoken to us that are our backseat driver. There are things in life that get triggered from the past that are a backseat driver. And we allow the backseat driver, we allow the devil his lies. Because what did the devil do in the beginning? He gave half truths. I'm going to take a little bit of truth, I'm going to take a lie, and I'm going to get two people to make the biggest mistake of their life. This morning, we all have a backseat driver. Some of us, we have more than one. Some of us, there's way more than one. So many mistakes, so many voices that cruise through our brains at any given moment. But if that backseat driver is not God himself, if it's not the Holy Spirit, then when we walk through that fire, we're going to get burned. When there's a 9.0 earthquake, we're going to fall apart. When there's a tsunami wave coming towards us, we're going to be crushed. If we don't have the correct backseat driver this morning, we will fail at every part of life. Acts 1:8, my last verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Four men, four friends, didn't cave, didn't bow down. They changed time. They changed cities. They changed people. The king was changed. Why? Because they made a stand. For a God who gave everything for me, for God who's given everything for you. 2025, we ask ourselves, am I giving everything back to him? Am I making the stand everywhere that I go and everything that I do? Am I making a stand in my thoughts? Am I making a stand in my feelings? Am I making a stand in my job? Am I making a stand in the community that we live in? Am I making a stand with my friends? Four friends. It baffles me. It amazes me what four friends did. Four friends, four guys, could have been four girls. But it baffles and it amazes me what four people did. Because you know what? They encouraged each other. They motivated each other. They inspired one another. We will not bow. We will not cave. We're going to stand. With that, let's pray.